So want to talk to you today. We're talking about sweet spots. Somebody say sweet spot.
Sweet spot.
And what I want to talk to you today is how many know on a bat there's a sweet spot?
Wow.
And in a tennis racket there's a sweet spot.
Yeah.
And if you hit it or the sweet spot, man, it's gonna, the power of that ball is gonna, you know what, or with the bat, you know what, you hit it in the sweet spot, it's gonna fly out. There's a sweet spot in the things of God. And for us to live and understand what that sweet spot is very helpful. Today I want to talk to you about the sweet spot, listen to me, the sweet spot of deciding to be happy.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Wow.
I said deciding. Somebody say deciding to be happy. I didn't say being happy. I said deciding to be happy, which is very unusual because most people say, Pastor, that's crazy. You can't decide to be happy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Amen. How many ever woke up and you're just kind of bummed out? You know what I mean? Just for whatever reason. I want to really, before we start, I wrote this yesterday, but I want to read this to you because I think it'll be very helpful and just a springboard to say and preach what I want to preach to you today. And I asked you this question. You know what? You ever wake up sometimes and you just feel sad?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you feel melancholy, and sometimes you even feel depressed. Well, I say this. This is a very, very bad thing to let to continue to happen in your life. It's a very bad thing. Giving to your emotions, allowing yourself to be sad, you know what, through your emotions, allowing your emotions to govern yourself instead of you governing your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
See, God did not design you to be controlled by your physical appetites or by your emotional fluctuations. Now listen to me. You can influence your own mood. Sad or glad. And over a period of time, take back your emotions that are currently, maybe for some people, completely out of control and taking control of your life. But emotions can sometimes be very stubborn. This self-indulgence is easy to get into and sometimes rather difficult to get out. You need to minister to yourself. David ministered to himself. Sometimes you need to just not put up with such nonsense. Get in touch with your feelings. No, 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 no. Don't get in touch with your feelings. Get in touch with God.
Amen.
Get in touch with His Word.
Amen.
Understand your ability to change as you start to put His Word in your mind. Sometimes we just need to preach to ourselves the goodness of God. And I'm not, listen to me, I'm not making light of sadness or depression. I'm not making light of that at all. What I'm simply saying to you is that much of the narrative that has been given to you, and sometimes, listen to me, accepted by you, is a wrong narrative. You know, the Darwinist at the universities would say that your feelings, your actions, your will, your emotions, they're hardwired. They're out of your control. And you don't really have control of how you feel or what you think or even how you act. That was just, they believe that we were just part of the animalistic evolution, and we're just a little farther down that chain. And ultimately, we just don't have control. It's so interesting because the research says just the opposite. The research says that that there's things that we allow to go into our minds And as we allow those things to go in our minds, they start making this great imprint. And those things can be negative or those things can be positive. It's interesting to me because how biblically true that is when the Bible says, when God commands us to think on that which is good, that which is praiseworthy. Could it be that God made us and God knows what's best for us and he's giving us an instruction for our best life, that we would meditate only on that which is good? Could it be that we can, just like we can make these impressions in our brain. And those impressions in our brain, again, all the scientific studies say this, that those impressions that we make those impressions in our life and in our brains, and then once those impressions, that they can become embedded over a continuing narrative of, well, you know what, I'll never get ahead, you know what, I'll always, you know, after all, you know what, and we use others to pile on to those narratives. The Bible calls it a stronghold. Yeah. Amen. The Bible calls it a stronghold, and we let others to pile onto that narrative. Well, you know what? I, you know what? The doctor said that, you know what? This was incurable, and I just have to learn to live with the pain. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And he's got an X-ray to prove on that. And we just keep on cutting that, just like in the forest where you'd hardly be able to get through. But you decided to go to grandma's house, right? Right through the forest, you know what I mean? And why do you, and you go to grandma's house, and you keep on going back to grandma's house. Why do you keep on going back to grandma's house? Because she has cookies, and you like those cookies. And you know what? And you keep on going back and forth to grandma's house. And next thing you know, you look in that forest, and that forest, which was dense, all of a sudden has a pathway straight to grandma's. You create a path. We do the same things in our minds. One of the leading scientists in this field says this: stimulation from your brain causes from your brain's. Oh, I'm sorry, missed all over. Stimulations are your brain's guesses. Somebody say guesses of what's happening in the world. In every walking moment, you're faced with ambiguous, noisy information from your eyes, from your ears, from your nose, and from your sensory organs. Your brain uses these past experiences. Somebody say past experiences. To construct a hypothesis. To construct a hypothesis. See, God knows this. He says this: rejoice in the Lord. What does he say? Somebody help me out. Always. And then just so in case you didn't get it, and then what does he say?
Again.
And again I say rejoice. I want to make sure you understand what's going on here. Our calling is to be people that would say no, that our calling is that we would be people who would understand, that we would, listen to me, that we would take the information that comes to us. Some of it seemingly very negative, but that we would filter it through the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
That God says, no, don't forget, you know what? If God is for you, who can be against you? Don't forget, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives inside you.
Amen.
Can somebody say amen? See, that we would take that data and we would, because we're Christians, because you know what? We have the favor of God that is on us. We would take that narrative, that stimulation, and understand, oh my goodness. You know what? Hey, let me tell you what I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess that God is going to see me through just like he saw me through the last time. Amen? Because God has promised never to leave me or forsake me.
Yeah. Come on.
Is this making sense?
Yeah.
So I want to show you some things in the Word of God that will help you. How many believe this is going to be a helpful message today? Amen. Amen. I said, how many believe this is going to be a helpful message today? Come on. I said, how many believe that you want to walk in and you're going to learn something today and you're going to say, yes, hallelujah. I'm so glad that I didn't stay in bed today. Amen. 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 So let me start with this passage. And it's a passage that you're familiar with. We'll go back to it in a minute, but I want to just jump off by saying this. It's what David says. He says, he asks this. He says, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? And why are you disquieted? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He asks himself some questions. You know, my first point, and I hope you're taking notes because you remember more what you write down. And my first point is this. Sometimes you have to ask yourself some tough questions. Amen. How many know we live in a strange place where it's like, oh, you know what? I need a safe space. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't anybody say anything that is going to challenge my worldview. Come on, somebody. No. Let's be a little tougher than that. Let's ask ourselves some tough questions. And David asked himself a tough question. He says, hey, what's your problem? That's what he said. I'm paraphrasing. He's like, what's your problem today? You know what I mean? Why in the world are you bummed out? Yeah. What you tripping on? What's your problem? You know, how many sometimes, man, we can just be bummed out. Yeah. You know what I mean? And how many know you're bummed out? You know what makes other people bummed out? You know what? Is that not right? And you have a responsibility. The Bible says, you know what? Don't put your light under a bushel. Wow. But put it out there where people can see it. We have a responsibility. And we have people, we have more reason to be full of joy and full of peace and full of optimism than anybody else. Can you say amen? Yeah. So I want to ask you some tough questions. You know what? Why are you bummed out? Can I get real with someone? Like, no. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And maybe you say, Pastor, I don't get bummed out too much. I'm not bummed very often. Well, ask yourself, how often are you bummed? How long do you allow yourself to be in that mess? Do you just justify, you know what, your droopiness? You know what I mean? I want to talk about that. Can we go a little deeper? I want to ask some questions. I want to dig and say, what's going on here? Why are you acting like that? First of all, I think we have to be honest with you and say, you know what, we need to recognize we can change. We don't have to stay the same. I mean, just, you know what? It's like the guy who, you know, had, you know, hair down to here. You know what I mean? There it is. Yeah, I said, well, why do you got hair down to there? Like, I don't know. I didn't even know I could cut it. No, you can. How many know you can get your hair cut? Amen? How many know you can change the color of your hair? Amen? Come on, somebody say amen to this. How many know you can put, you know, you can wear different shoes or you know what? You know, different stuff. You know, you could drive the bus sometime if you wanted, you know what I mean? Or not drive, but you could get on the bus. You could ride a, you know, one time my son had this funky skateboard, and it was one of those skateboards that's like broken in the middle, and you could go like this. How many watching me? You go like this. And you know what? I used to be, you know, I was a surf cat. I used to surf and skateboard and all that stuff. I got this thing. I think, oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing. And, man, that thing went flying up, and I was like, whoa. What's your point of that story? Yeah, you're laughing too hard. What's the point of that story? You know, the point of the story is I'm a dork, but that's not the point. The point is, you know, you can change. You know what we really need to do? We really need to come to grips and say, listen, if I'm depressed for 3 hours, that's probably about 2 hours and 59 minutes more than I should be depressed. Yeah. I think we might need to be quick to kind of analyze our life a little bit and say, no, I have really, and let me tell you what, just like you can cut that path to joy and peace. Yeah. Yeah. you know what? You can cut that path to just being bummed out. And it becomes, watch this, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because what you're doing is you are creating something, you're creating these bridges in your mind that are real. And pretty soon, you ever talk to somebody like this? And even though it's like all sunny and all bright, it's like, whoa, it's a beautiful day. Well, you know, it's like when it's warm, it's too hot. And when it's cold, it's too cold. And it's just, that's who, watch this. That's it's not about being too hot or too cold. It's who they are. And even if you could control their environment where it would be perfect, you know what the next thing they'd say is, yeah, but how long is this going to last? Oh. Is that not right? I want to quickly go over two things that I believe will help you as far as asking, why are these things, why am I so downcast? What's really going on? What's really going on? Well, I believe there's a lot of things, but I think if we'll look at these two things, they're really the predominant issues, what's going on. Number one, what really is on the basis of this is this. Listen, I don't have enough. Now, before, everybody say before.
Before
you're quickly to say, oh, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. Let's just take a time out and let's analyze. Can we do that? Yeah. I don't have enough. You know what? The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. It's a commandment of God. Let me tell you about the commandments of God. The commandments of God are not burdensome. And we have to really analyze and say, you know what, is that who I am? Is that where I've become? Let me give you an example. So, because we think, most people wouldn't even confess that they are covetous. They think, no, I'm not. But let me just take a little time to talk about that for a minute. Who is the angel? Lucifer, that's what he was named. When Lucifer was in heaven, he was given all kinds of, he was the number one angel.
Wow.
He was given all kinds of abilities that God gave him. He looked at God and said, you know what? I don't have enough. I'm going to be like him. How many know what God said? God said, no, you won't. Jesus said he saw Lucifer drop like lightning. Adam and Eve. They are, think about this. They are in the Garden of Eden. We think, you ever been in Yosemite or something? We went to Yosemite. First time I was in Yosemite, I was like, oh my goodness, God is alive. You know, how anybody could come up here and question the reality of God, I don't even get it. God is so incredible in his creation. The Bible says that God speaks in his creation to us of the fact that he's alive. But the Bible also says that the earth groans, waiting to be delivered. Now, I don't know exactly all what that means, but I know that when Adam and Eve fell, part of that fall was on this earth. Yeah. That there are a reality that when we step into the creation of God free from the curse, you and I are going to go. It's going to make Yosemite look like, you know what, Mickey Mouse Club, you know what I mean? And that's what her and her husband were given control over. This is yours. This is your domain. Oh, there's one thing that I want to make sure you don't, you know what, eat of it. This tree. And yet, what's the plan of Satan? Satan comes to her and says this. What does he say to her? You know what? Hey, look at that. You don't have enough. All this isn't enough. You want that one. And it's this mindset of, I don't have enough. You know what? What I have, watch this. Or like this. Let me say it another way. What I have is not good enough. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
You know, a lot of times it happens with couples all the time. And they're like, oh, if I just would have married somebody who was nicer. If I just would have married somebody who was sweeter. If I just would have married somebody who was prettier. If I just would have married somebody who made more money. And there's this. No, it happens all the time. Happens all the time. And we start, and it's deceptive and it's demonic. And it's designed to rip us off. It's designed to rip us off. Look at the amount of scriptures here, and I'll go over these quickly, but look at how many scriptures talk about this. Let your conduct be without what? Covetousness. Be content with such things that you have. Watch this. For he himself has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
See, how many know it's not, listen, it's a, somebody say it's a trick. It's not, listen, it's not that it's this mindset of what I have is not enough. I need more. What I have is not enough. It's not good enough. And so even Adam and Eve can say that.
Wow.
I mean, no, they had enough.
Yep.
It was just this trick of Satan to come in and say, you know what? You don't, and what's he trying to do? He's trying to get you to go somewhere else.
Wow.
Trying to get you to, he's trying to rip you off. You know what? Listen, your prize is the spouse that you married.
Yep.
That's your prize. But he's going to make you discontent. And you're going to leave and you're going to get ripped off. Amen.
Amen.
Look at it. It's all throughout the Bible. Look at this. 1 Timothy. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. Has somebody say with contentment? Look at this. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses. See, you're getting ripped off. You know what? You've allowed Madonna to fake you out. Some of you younger's like, Madonna? Who's Madonna? Whatever. Amen. You live in a materialistic world. And you become materialistic to think that something that you own is going to satisfy you.
That's right.
And I love the context, but he says, no. Let me tell you who's going to satisfy you. God's going to satisfy you. He's promised never to leave you or forsake you. That's what you have. That's what the blessing is. Look at this. This is so good. Psalms 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Watch this next verse. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. God will give you the desires of your heart. Yes, God will give you the desires of your heart. But don't miss the first part. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's where the contentment is. And you're getting ripped off because you're thinking, you know what, as soon as I do that, as soon as I accomplish this, and God is saying, no, let me tell you what, you're being ripped off. Be content today.
Yeah.
Be happy today. With all your problems, with all your mess, with all your, man, I went to get a burrito and they put it in the fryer too long. I like chimichangas, but they over-chunga'd it. You know, what's up with that? What's up with that? Exactly. Well, you know, not enough meat, too much lettuce. You know what I mean? I mean, some people can complain about anything. You know what I mean? Well, here, take some lettuce off and be happy today. Amen? No, really. Here's a good thing to think of. You got something to eat. Amen? Here's a better thing to think of. God is with you, and he's promised never to leave you or forsake you. Man, get your eyes off of this. You know what? It's like, this just, you ever met somebody and they're a complainer?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about complainers. Complainers complain at 9, and they complain at 10, and they complain at 11, and they complain at 12, and they complain at 1, and it doesn't make any difference whether it's 1 in the morning or 1 at night. Doesn't make any difference. Sunny, it's raining. That's what they do. That's what they have. That's the brainness that they've created.
Yep.
And God says, No. Let me tell you what to do. Rejoice in the Lord always.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Should but you but pastor, listen. Can I say this? I don't know who this message is for, but here's what I want to say. Please take inventory to what I'm saying today. Because there's a tendency that we have to just say, that's not me. When I was a kid, my parents didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of money to go to Dodger Stadium and, you know what I mean? You know, I mean, back, how many, everything's relative.
Oh, you know,
nice. You say, oh, well, no, you know, tickets weren't that much. Yeah, well, they were back then.
Yeah.
But my dad didn't have a lot of money that we could go to sporting events. But somebody started coming to our church, and he was the sports writer in the Whittier Daily Paper.
Nice.
And so he had tickets all the time, and he'd give us tickets all the time. It was a total blessing. So we'd go. And back there in the day, you know what, in Dodger Stadium, you used to be able to smoke a cigar or smoke a pipe or, you know what, or smoke a cigarettes. You know what I mean? You could just smoke. And I remember a lot of time going, and those kind of smells would just encompass the whole stadium. You know what I mean? I mean, there'd be three guys, and he's, you know, smoking one of those soggies, you know what I mean? And so years later, you know what? I'll go by somebody in the grocery store, and they'll be outside smoking a cigar or smoking a cigarette, and I'll go by them and think, man, and all of a sudden just have a good feeling. Today's a good day. Man, you know what? I love those smells. You know what? Pastor, that's I'm just
true.
Telling you the truth. Why? Here's why. Because you know what? I don't associate that with anything negative. I associate that with hanging out with my dad. Amen. And eating a bunch of junk stuff. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Hot dogs and, you know what, and Dodger dogs and Pepsi and, you know what I mean? All that junk. I mean, you know, we would eat all that stuff. It was awesome. Here's my point. My point is that we can make, you know what, that God knows how we're designed, and God tells us, hey, listen. You need to take your attitude, and you need to change your attitude. You need to stop being so unhappy, and you're so unhappy because you've made yourself unhappy. Because you have decided, you know what, that my life is a bad life. And your life is not a bad life. Listen to me. If all you had was Jesus in your life, you got good life. Somebody say amen to this.
Amen.
You got a great life. See, complacency is a trick of Satan to get you all bummed out. Yeah, you, maybe you're saved. Maybe you're going to heaven. But you know what? How many know the Bible says in the presence of God is a fullness of joy.
Oh, yeah.
You could be full. Why? Because God has promised never leave you or forsake you. You could be happy all the time.
Yeah.
But we've allowed this complacency to embitter us. To make us angry, to get us upset. And God has set us free.
Amen.
Amen. Number two, you know what? I've been hurt, therefore I deserve to be sad.
Ouch.
How many have been hurt? Ever raise your hand if you've been hurt. Okay.
Oh,
okay. Everybody should have their hand up. Everybody gets hurt. Amen. I mean, welcome to life. Amen. But we take that hurt and we change that and say, I deserve to be upset. I deserve to be sad. This is where I'm going to live because that person hurt me. And watch this. And pastor, if you start to even question that, watch this, because this is what happens. How dare you mock my pain? Listen, I'm not mocking your pain. I'm saying what Christ has done for us is more superior to any hurt that you've been given.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd say this to you. I'd say, you know what? Do what the Bible says. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Be quick to forgive. And you know what? You ain't going to be upset anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, but, yabba, doobie. Stop it. Amen? Stop it. It's just an excuse for you to live in your muck. And God says, no, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. You know what that means? Today is the day of wholeness. Get whole. Because hey, listen, we just need to ask this. Did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Yes or no?
Yes.
Was his blood shed? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, then you got to figure it out. Because if his blood was shed, then shed, and it was, and if it was shed for you, and it was, then you know what? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we've been forgiven so much. It's just so easy for us to. You know what? I mean, it's like somebody gave you $1 million, and you're in the grocery store, you know, trying to figure out whether you should buy, you know what, Farmer John or, you know, Wieners or the S brand Wieners. You know, the S brand Wieners or the B, I don't know what it is. You know what? Hey, spend the $2 more. Get the Farmer John. Amen. You know, what in the world are you talking about? You've been forgiven so much and you are acting like what they did was a big deal. Stop it. Stop it. Listen, I'm going to be kind. Oh, I'm smiling as I'm going to say that. Listen, how dare, I'll include me, how dare us, after God has forgiven us for so much, we walk around and acting like we have a right. You have no right. I've been hurt, therefore I deserve to be sad. No, you don't. And the universities won't tell you that. You know what? We live in a, I heard somebody say the other day that, you know what, with all the homeless in LA and some of the cities, there's this outbreak of all kinds of diseases. It's crazy. But I like what they said. They said, that's nothing compared to the disease that's the outbreak of anger that's taking place in our country.
Yeah.
You know what? Just an outbreak of anger. And you know what? And we, how many know stuff that's out in the world sometimes can filter into the church?
Yeah.
Talked to a pastor years ago, and he was preaching. He was at, this church was at a park. And he said, man, I got to get out of this, or it was at a school, and the school was right next to a park. And he said, I got to get out of this situation. We're right in the middle of the service, and somebody's smoking dope, you know what? And all of a sudden, we're like, you know what? I am a friend of God. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, you know, who's smoking marijuana in the bathroom? You know what I mean? Listen to me, church. How many know that stuff, you know what, can creep into the church? I mean, this junk that we've allowed, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, don't tell me not to be offended. You don't know what they did. And you get offended with me telling you, stop being offended.
Yeah.
Is that not right?
Yeah.
Hey, don't tell me. I got everywhere. No, listen. Let me say this respectfully. You have no right to be angry. You have no right to be upset. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, you do have an opportunity.
Yes, come on.
How many have ever been given mercy? You know what mercy is? Mercy is when you deserve something and you don't get it anyway.
Yeah.
You deserved it. How many have ever been given mercy? How many have ever done something wrong to a friend? You said something, you did something, and you know you shouldn't have said it. It was something stupid. You regret it, but you can't take those words back. And somebody just looked at you and said, don't worry about it. Now, I've done stupid things too. I don't care about that. That was yesterday. How does that make you feel? It's like, oh, man. Can we be those beacons of light to other people? Can we forgive people not because they deserve it, but because God loves them? Can we recognize the truth is? They do deserve our forgiveness. Can we stop holding a grudge? Because let me tell you what. This gets you in a mess. It is one of the reasons why people are sad and depressed and walking in depression because other people have hurt them and they deserve to be that. I like what one lady said. She said this: you can be a victor or you can be a victim, but you can't be both. See, we whip out that victim card. No, let me tell you, I deserve to be upset. I deserve to be angry. I deserve to be depressed. I deserve to be sad. Well, listen, you can do whatever you want to do. But God says this. If you're a born-again Christian, God says this to us. He says, no. Rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
And again, I say rejoice. This is not a... God is so clear. Look at this. This is another passage. This is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace that comes from God. Everybody say, and let. Now, I've taught you this before. Let is a word that is an indication of your will. You know what? Let the dogs out. You can either let the dogs out or not let the dogs out. That's an indication. You have to go to the door and you have to let them out. You say, hey, come on, Fruffy, Scruffy, get out. But you are letting them out. The Bible says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. It's a matter of choice. Stop blaming other people. Stop thinking that you don't have enough. No, God has blessed you right where you're at. You're blessed. You're so, and yet you're going to allow that. Yeah, I don't have enough. Stop it. It's covetousness. It's a sin. Number one. Number two, you won't let all that. When they did this, they did that to me. That they did. They hurt me. Hey, welcome to life. Amen. Welcome to life. And the peace of God. You know, and let the peace of God, and let the peace from Christ rule your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called. You are called. This is your calling. You're called. What? Oh, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do in ministry. I'll tell you what you're supposed to do in life. You are called to live in peace.
Amen.
Live in peace. 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 Because that's what your calling was. That's what you're called to do. So be peaceful. See, it's so countercultural. But our culture says, no, I don't feel peaceful today. And you're going to let what I said in my opening, you have no idea how dangerous this is. Because you indulge yourself in that. You indulge yourself in that, and it becomes, it's easy to do it the next day, and it's easy to do it the next day, and it's easy to do the next day. Amen? And the society will give you 58,000 reasons why it's not your fault. See, society ain't going to tell you what I'm telling you today. They're telling you just the opposite. They're telling you, you can't control how you think. You can't even control how you act. Don't you understand? You're just a part of some developed plasma. It's not what God says. He says, no. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always... And always. Yeah, you thought I came to the good part. Now's a good part. And always. Always be what?
Thankful.
Always be thankful. Can I tell you what? Listen, I don't care what situation you're in. There is always something. There is always something you can see that's bright in that situation.
Amen. There it is.
Always. And if you understand that, you know what Satan meant for your destruction, God will turn around for your good. Oh, my goodness. You know? You know, today's a new day.
There it is.
Right?
Today's
the day. See, let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will minister to you if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit ministering to you. And you start to get in that funk. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, get out. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Are you saying you're never bummed out? Well, you ask my wife. Amen? I'm not saying I don't have an opportunity. I'm saying, you know what? When she met me at the grocery store, you know what? You know what? You know what? You know, 7 years ago. Just joking. It was a while back before that. But what I'm saying is, when she met me in the grocery store, she didn't like me. Amen? I know you find that hard to believe. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Come on, somebody say amen to this. I know you find that hard to believe. I know you find that hard to believe. Okay. I know you find that hard to believe, but you know what? She didn't like me because when I would come in on Monday, I'll be happy. Amen? And then when I came in, she saw me on Thursday, guess what I'd be? I'll be happy. Amen? And then she saw me a Friday or morning shift. Nate, you know, whenever she saw me, what was I? I was happy. Why? Because no matter what my situation it was, you know what? God promised never to leave me or forsake me. God promised to go before me and make the crooked path straight. Are you kidding me? I got every reason to be happy. And so do you. I've got a whole bunch of songs. I mean, I thank God. Pastor George, thank God my dad was a pastor. Amen? Because I got an awesome jukebox in my head. Amen? Amen? I got a bunch of good songs. They are awesome. And you know what? I'm just like you. There were some days, I don't know why, I'll just be bummed out. Pastor, what do? I recognize what that is. That's a trick from Satan to rip me off and rip my family off and rip you all off. You know, you're a pastor? What are you going to preach on today? I'm going to preach on nothing, man, because I'm just bummed out today. We're just gonna look at each other and, you know, and that's what we're doing. What are you doing? That's how I feel, Dave. Amen? Oh, that was so weird. You know what? I never, pastors usually have something better to say. What'd you learn today at church? I don't know, pastor just kept on going. How many of you don't want to come to that kind of church, right? I don't want to be that kind of pastor. And the Holy Spirit will minister to me. And all of a sudden, you know, that jukebox, I don't even know where it's going. You know what? You know, K-38 goes to K-38. Next thing you know, I'm singing something. You know what? That the Holy Spirit has dumped inside me. Because I understand, I can't stay there. Amen? What song did I sing this morning, first service? What? Oh, Standing. So all of a sudden, I'll be, you know, it's like, I'm bummed out. And I'll get this song, standing on the promises of Christ my King. Where do you come up with that? And the Holy Spirit says, no, don't wallow in that. Don't stay in there. Standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing. You know how this goes? Standing. I'm standing on the promises of gold. Now you tell me what happened to my melancholy. Man, it just went out the back, Jack. I said, no, I'm not going to tolerate this. I cannot tolerate it. I cannot do this. I've been given too much. God is too good to me for me to tolerate this jive. Can I tell you what? And we live in a society that will say, no, you're justified. It's okay. It's not your fault. You know what? Wallow in that. And I would say, no, don't tolerate that. Because there's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. I mean, look what was at stake in that situation. How many know? I directly influence Tamara and her eternity forever. How many know this is true? Why? Because I won't come in and say, you know what's going on? You know, in the grocery store, same old stuff. When's your break? when you off, hate this place. You know why? That's what most other people did. Wow. Cameron, is that not right? Right? That's what everybody else in the grocery was. Hate my job. Stop it! Stop that. Stop complaining about your job and your spouse and your life and your food and your body. I just, you know, every time I eat a chip, you know, I gain 30 pounds, you know, goes right here. Oh my goodness. Stop it. Stop it. God has called us to live a life of calling. Calls us to live a life of peace. Amen. So just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Recognize what and I'm, you know what, the science is saying this. I mean, the good science is saying this now. Understanding how much control we have in our moods. But and that's why David says, you know what David says? Let me stop. Let me conclude with this. David says, "Why so downcast, O my soul?" He's starting to question, why am I like this? And I love his answer. You know what his answer is? Here's why. Because I'm not putting my trust in God. I'm not recognizing. You know, if God is for me, who can be against me? That's the reality. Listen, this is true. You get all this stimulus from your body and from your emotions. You get all this stuff is coming in, but it's going into your mind, and your mind can analyze it. It's like a George's dog. You know what I mean? George has a pit bull for a dog. Now I've read pit bulls, they can turn, that you know, they rip, you know, people's faces off and all this crazy stuff, right? So I get around George's pit bull and I'm like I try to be cool, like, oh, I'm cool. But I'm not cool. I'm like, oh, that's a pit bull. You know what I mean? Now let me tell you about George's pit bull. This is the kindest dog that you have ever met. Does anybody know George's pit bull? Okay. Would you testify to that? Would you testify that this is the sweetest dog in the world? I've never met a sweeter dog than this dog. All I'm saying to you, but how many know, but it don't make any difference. I'm still freaking out. See, how many know people start walking in this and it becomes their life. And it doesn't have to become their life. And it doesn't have to become your life. And what I'm trying to humbly say to you is we've got to take back our emotions. He says, why so downcast, O my soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And he's recognized, I know why, because I'm thinking that God is going to leave me and forsake me. And that's not true, because God has promised never to leave me or forsake me. I told you this before, but I love saying it. It's what David recognized. God was with me in the lion. God was with me in the bear. How many of us have story after 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 story of God coming through to us? Through for us. Coming through over and over and over and over again. Why so downcast? And I would say this to us. Why are we so downcast? Because we have no reason to believe in that. We have no reason to believe that. No. And I don't do that. I mean, I try not to. Well, I don't believe in all that faith stuff, you know what, and all that, you know what, speak to that mountain. Well, excuse me, Jesus said speak to the mountain. The Bible says this, death and life is in the power of your tongue. Well, I don't believe in that. Well, then you don't believe in Jesus, because Jesus spoke death. What did he speak death to? To a tree, amen? And that tree died. Did he speak life to something else? He spoke life to Lazarus. He spoke one time, he spoke to the wind and he told it to stop.
That's right. Come on.
And the wind stopped. And then they were like, ooh, who is this that even the wind? And it's after Jesus spoke death to the cursed tree that Jesus said this, assuredly I say to you all that any of you all can speak to that mountain, be removed, cast to sea, not down in your heart. See, we have no reason to act this way. We have no reason to think this way, except that we smell like marijuana because somebody down the street is smelling like marijuana. No way. I'm gonna be joyous today. You know why? Because this is the day the Lord has made. I'm gonna rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Because goodness of God is all over me. Amen. All over me, all over my family, all over this church. Matter of fact, before you leave, I'm gonna speak a blessing. How many want me to speak a blessing to you? I speak a blessing to these people who raised their hands, even people who didn't raise their hands, but they're in this, but they came to church. And I say, in the name of Jesus, this is going to be an awesome week for them. It's going to be an awesome week for them, and they're going to see some things are going to happen in their life, and they're going to say, oh my goodness, it's not coincidental. The prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And that pastor prayed as I raised my hand, and oh my goodness, and God says to you, connect the dots this week because it's going to happen, and you're going to see it. Amen? Did somebody receive that?
I wanted to, I was sitting there, and it's not escaping me that everything that pastor just taught us came from the Word of God. His Bible scriptures that he had up here. It's accounts from the Word that God has given us. I have a funny story to tell you. If we worked for a gentleman. We were apartment managers, and we had a two-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath townhome that we lived in. We had a two-car garage. We were there with our kids. We had the whole thing all fixed up. We'd lived there for years, and the man that we originally began to work for had passed away, and his son had taken over the business, and we'd been working for the son for a couple years, and Pastor Drew came in one day, and he said, hey, Tamara, I want us to start to look for a property that we're going to buy. We're not going to move into it, but it needs to be big enough for our family, something that we would move into if we want to. I just very uncomfortable, you know what, with what's going on with our boss at the time. He said, you know what, I was pregnant with Megan. And his father had always told us that he would move us to this new place next door as soon as he built it. And that place was being built. So we had approached the son about, hey, your father said, and you know what, and Tamara's pregnant with our third child, so do you think? And rather than be the man that his father was, he was not that man. He was different. And so he began to kind of put the squeeze on us. So Pastor Drew came home and he said, hey, I don't like this. You know what I mean? We're going to find somewhere just in case. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying we're moving. I'm saying I don't like feeling like my back is up against the wall with this guy. I said, okay. So we began looking for a home, and it took us several months, and everything that we found that we could afford was much smaller than where we lived, because we had a very spacious two-bedroom townhome that we lived in. So we finally find this one home, and it's more money than we can afford, but we decided to put like a faith offer in, and we figured, oh, maybe this is God, because finally this was a home that would actually be a step up with a little bit more room than what we had, not less. And so we put the offer in, the guy counter-offered, Pastor Drew came in and said, hey, George is on the phone, that was our realtor, what do you think? You know, he said that they said this. And I said, I don't know. What do you think? Can we do that? And he said, we could do that, but it would be like super, super tight, Tamara. I said, that's not God. I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Tell him no thank you. So we said no thank you. I was in the bath. Pastor Drew went right back to work because we had 67 units that we were taking care of. And he left to work, but I was still in my bubble bath sitting there that morning. And after he left, I began to think about that home and think about just the whole process that we had gone through and the conversation that we had just had. And I began to just feel sad. And the next thing you know, tears are just streaming down my face. And the next thing you know, I'm talking to God and I'm saying, hey, God, you know, what the heck? That's like the only house that we found that would be like a step up. And we've been, you know, man, we're building the church, and man, we've been serving you for all these years, and now You know what I mean? Now the only home that we found in 7 months or whatever is a no. And I began to just really kind of spiral fast. You know what? Because then the next thing you know, I'm telling God, man, we're so faithful to you, and we've done this, and we've done that, and remember when this, and you said that, and we're trusting you, and I'm going through this whole thing. What's happening? I'm becoming very, I'll tell you what's happening. I'm taking my eyes off of God, and I got my eyes on this house, and as I'm looking at this house and what isn't, instead of what is, I'm beginning to get this big pity party going on. And what I'm doing is I'm putting down just, you know how it happens, guys. Come on, that fast. You know what I mean? Your emotions get going, and the next thing you know, you're gone. And so I'm telling God, man, we've been faithful to you. Why am I telling him that? I'm not feeling like he's faithful to me. I'm basically accusing him. You're not faithful. I've been faithful. How come you're not being faithful, God? I've done this for you. I'm exalting, you know, wow, I'm this and that. And I'm going on. And all of a sudden, it's almost like I have an out-of-body experience in that it didn't really happen, like I didn't, like, float up or any of that. I just heard myself. I heard my pity party going on. And when I heard it, thank God, I just went, ugh, what are you doing? What are you doing, Tamara? And I stopped in my tracks, and I was like, oh my goodness, God forgive me. I could see what was happening with my emotions. My emotions were turning me away from God and how faithful he had been to us, and they're turning me, you know what, as an accuser of who he isn't instead of who he is. And as I caught that, and I just stopped and said, God, forgive me. Forgive me. And then I began to think, what an idiot I was. I'm like, girl, look around you. You live in a beautiful two-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath townhome with a huge two-car garage. You don't pay anything for this. Matter of fact, you're paid to live here. Everyone who comes in your home goes, ooh, this is nice. You got any more like this? This is nice. You know what? That's what they said. And you're going to sit here in this bathtub and cry? And tell God who he isn't and what he hasn't and what you deserve? Really? See how fast it happened? Now, here's the crazy part about that. Until Pastor Drew came home that day and said, hey, I think we should start looking for a property. We're not going to move in it, but we're just going to do this because I think it's wisdom. Okay. I didn't even want a home, you guys. I was very content, very happy with where I was at. And then, just like that. Here's the craziest part. If you were in first service, you didn't hear this. I remember one day, as I was with this woman who was coming to the church with her family, and she began to just tell me, she was overwhelmed, you know what I mean? She was worried, you know what? They had a home, and she was talking about the work that needed to be done on this home. And I began to encourage her. So I thought. I thought I was encouraging her with what I had gone through. I remember one time Pastor Drew and I, we were looking for homes, and then this happened, and that happened, and this happened, and that happened, and you know what? And I got a hold of myself, and I said, girlfriend, what's the matter with you? And then myself said back, I don't know, this is crazy. And then we started, I said, stop it, Tamara. And then I said, you know what, God, thank you. Thank you for this townhome. Thank you for what you've done here. Thank you that I don't pay any rent. Thank you that you've provided this for us. Oh my goodness, forgive me for where I was going. You are a good God. And I am grateful for everything that you've done for me, and I'm not going to miss it right now. Yeah. What a great pastor, huh? That was nice of me, right? I cared about her. I wanted her to get that worry off of her and that fear off of her. I wanted it to go away for her too, and for her to know God is faithful. God is good. And when God was so good and so faithful to me, I'm starting to go, and thinking I'm more, ooh, scary. How quick we can do that. And so as I'm encouraging her, thinking I'm blessing her socks off, right? She calls me later on, like a day or two later. And she said, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And she came and she said, I just want you to know, I'm really upset with you. And we're leaving the church. I can't go to a church like that. I'm stunned. And she said, after we talked and after you were sharing with me about everything that happened with you and Pastor Drew, I was just so angry. I hope you're stunned like I'm stunned. I'm trying to hang on. What did I do? You know, maybe I, and she said, and so I called my husband. I was so upset. And I told my husband, you need to meet me. You know, I need to talk to you. And she said, my husband met me at McDonald's and we sat down and we had a cup of coffee together. And I told him everything you said. And I'm thinking, the whole time I'm thinking, what did I do wrong? Why is she so angry at me? And she said, I told my husband, I said him that you said this, and I told him about that. And then my husband said to me, why has she upset you so much? What did she say that was wrong? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm with him. I don't get it either. Right? And she said, and I said, I asked her, I said, why are you upset? Why are you leaving the church? And she said, I told my husband, I just cannot have a pastor who has such robes of righteousness like that. I cannot be in a church like that. I thought, girl, do you have a Bible? I mean, all we've done is give you the word. You know what? This is God, the one that you profess to love and serve. What was I supposed to do? Tell her, yeah, you know what? God sucks. I mean, this is a hard life, sister. It's a hard knocks life. What am I supposed to do? Because that's not what I see on the pages. Hey, see the wall? Come. Here. I am supposed to see what God says, grab it, and own it. And be his disciple. Meaning, I am one who follows his teachings. I am one that in that moment, I go, whoa, no. God is faithful. God is good. I am blessed. I don't have nothing to cry about. Right? They left. I mean, that was that. And that makes me sad for her. Just sad for her. Now listen, here's the thing. I can't, as much as I wanted it for her, I can't do nothing for her. Do you understand that? If me following God's word and doing what God's word says means that I cannot pastor you because you just can't wrap your head around that. But you know how sad that is? God planted them here. Do you understand that? God was trying to minister to his daughter greatly. And for whatever, I don't know, you know what I mean? It is what it is. And I can't fix that. I've done my part. When I stand before God, he's going to tell me, good job, Tamara. You know what I mean? Good job for just sharing and being vulnerable. You know what I mean? And telling her the truth. That's my job. Just to be a truth giver. Just God's truth. And God's truth challenges us all sometimes, does it not? But then it's our job to grab that truth and say, God, yes, I have these emotions. Yes, I have this situation. Yes, I have this experience. But you said. And then we go right back to God. And that's how we are his disciples, that we believe him more than we believe whatever's going on around us, in whatever the situation is. Amen? So I hope that I hope that we hear all of this today, that we don't miss. We're teaching from the Word of God. Our Lord, the one that we let direct our life, the one that we submit ourselves to, who tells us all of these things, and we come through all kinds of awesomeness. Now, that day in the bathtub, all that happened, I told Pastor Drew, and we'll see one day when we get before the Lord, but I thoroughly believe this. Had I not turned it around and gotten a hold of myself that day, I wouldn't live where I live right now. Because it was, as soon as I repented, I told the Lord, I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. I'm blessed. I'm grateful. You know, this is awesome, what you've done for us. You're a good God. And I'm happy right where I'm at right now. If you never, ever did anything for me, you've done so much for me. And that was hardly the case. So, but it was a week later, we got a phone call and this to a pastor's breakfast. And this man at that pastor's breakfast prophesied over us that God is going to lead you to a home. Total stranger. Didn't even know that guy. And as he did that, I said, God, you are good. And then the rest just unfolded. It was so God. It was crazy. You know what I mean? We're in a home that's more than any of the homes that we ever looked at that we couldn't afford. We can't afford the one we're in now either, but yet we can. Because God did something awesome. And I believe if I would not have kept my heart right in that moment towards my God and who he is, if I would have taken the bait of my emotions just allowing me to really, did you see what ended up happening? I didn't mean for that to happen. You would, if you asked me, do you think that we should accuse God? Do you think that God is bad or good? I would say, oh, he's good. You know what I mean? I know better. But in all of my emotions, without it was all happening so fast, all of a sudden I'm impugning God, not even recognizing what I'm doing. It just went that quick. And you know why I was able to do all of that? Because I got my eyes off of God in the first place because of all the circumstances. And so we just have to keep our eyes on God because he is the one who, I don't care what the mess is, and we've had some messes in our life, you know what I mean? I have watched God untangle the most tangled things as people just trust in him and say, God, I'm trusting you, you know what I mean? I'm following you, and I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. And it's been awesome. My life and all kinds of people's lives, as God just unravels things. If we don't put ourselves opposite of him, but we stay on the same team as him, me and God, we got this. I don't know how we're going to get a home, but we're getting a home. And on my job, you know what my job is to do? Put God first. Just keep putting him first. Just love the Lord my God and love other people and don't worry about the rest. God's going to work it out. He's going to lead me and guide me and help me. Amen? And he does.